Well, it's not unusual to get, at least for me, to get unusual or unwanted emails and or letters, or as in this morning's case, somebody stuffs something in my door, well, at the rectory door. And so as I was coming back from Mass, here it was, and I'm glad I went through that door and because that's where it was. And so plucked it out and read, started to read. It was like a legal size front, back, front, small print. And the opening line was, when God was lonely, and I stopped right there. I didn't want to read the rest because that's just a very poor place to start to begin with, because God's never been lonely. You know, that would assume that he was all by himself, right? And for some of us, people like me, I kind of like being all by myself. I like solitude. I like quiet. But remember, God is the Trinity. God is always in community. Father, Son, and Spirit, from the very beginning to the very, well, there's no end. No beginning, no end, from all eternity, God is community. So he's never lonely. So I don't know what this thing is about. So I didn't read after that because it was just, I could dismiss it immediately. And most of the crazy stuff I get is just that, crazy. Well, then I was actually trying to do the crossword and I was cheating. Because when it comes to some of these popular culture things like movies, which I've, you know, you can ask me any, you know, have you seen them? I mean, the answer will be no. The last movie I was actually in the theater was in, what year was it? 2009. That's the last time I've been in a theater. I had an email, and so I opened up my email, and I see a message from the Vicar General, Father Scott, and this is bad news, but I feel like this is the world that we live in right now. So it's very short email because there's little information. The pastor at St. Francis in Fort Calhoun was killed last night. He was assaulted in his rectory, taken to the hospital, and by the time he got to the hospital, he didn't survive. That's all I know. My guess is there will be more information coming out as they learn more. But that's, unfortunately, the world that we live in. And it's terrible news, and it's very sad. However, that's not what we're here for. And as we are in this Advent season, and what we hear today is really truly all about hope. And let me try to explain that. So the reading that we hear today is from Isaiah, and there's actually three Isaiahs, and they're very creative about how they distinguish them. There's 1st Isaiah, 2nd Isaiah, 3rd Isaiah. 1st Isaiah is chapters 1 to 39 that deals with the impending exile of the people. The northern kingdom had already been exiled about 150, 200 years previous. Now the Judean, the southern kingdom, is going to be exiled. And that's what 1st Isaiah is dealing with. And then 2nd Isaiah is when they're in exile, but it's hopeful. And then 3rd Isaiah is even more hopeful. So chapters 40 to 55 is 2nd Isaiah, 56 to the end is 3rd Isaiah. So we get to hear the very beginning of 2nd Isaiah, and guess what his opening word is, if you were paying attention? Comfort. That's what he's telling the people who are in exile. Comfort. Give comfort to my people. And how I started the other two homilies until this bad news stuff interrupted my morning was this question: how badly do you think God wants us to be back with him? And this reading from 2nd Isaiah indicates that. Okay, so here's Babylon, where the people are in exile. Here's Jerusalem over here. Now, obviously, the quickest way between two points that all of us know is a direct line. The problem is this area here between Babylon and Jerusalem is uninhabitable, you cannot go through it. So if you were to get from Babylon to Jerusalem, you had to go way north, up and around, and then south to get to Jerusalem. That was the only way possible without airplanes and things like that, which obviously they didn't have. So what does God propose? Once again, if you're listening carefully to the text, every mountain and hill shall be made low, all the valleys will be filled in, and a highway will be made for the people to come from here to here in the most direct route. Obviously, this is metaphorical, but that's God's intention, is we're going to make this as easy as possible for you to come from exile here to freedom and a new life here with me, with God. Mountains laid low, valleys filled in, a highway, smooth transition. That's God's plan. Now, how did he go about doing that? Because over time, it's still, there's this barrier between people and God. And generally speaking, it's people that is the problem, as we found out about what happened in Fort Calhoun in the worst way. So what is God's next plan? Well, in the fullness of time, he sends his son. And before he sends his son, he has his cousin prepare the way. And you would think that Jesus' cousin, who is the son of a priest, Zechariah, of temple worship, that somehow the temple would be involved in this plan, but it's not. And I don't know what Zechariah thought of his son. I don't know if he thought he was a disappointment, that he didn't follow in his footsteps, much less the way he lived his life, which what modern day 30, 40 years ago would have called John a hippie. This long-haired, dressed in camel hair, which couldn't have been comfortable, eating bugs and honey, living in most likely this very austere and arid part of Israel, which would have been just west of the Dead Sea, in a cave. He was most likely in Essene, which was a sect of Judaism that didn't recognize temple and temple worship. And that would have fit his model. And he finds himself at the River Jordan, not the crazy, stupid one up north, which is a tourist trap, but the actual site, which is in just north of the Dead Sea, that has a long history of occupation of monasteries and whatnot, dating from even before the 4th century. And he's attracting people because of his message, and probably to see this sight of this voice crying out in the wilderness. Prepare the way. Make the path straight. He uses Isaiah's language. Make the path straight. And that path excludes the temple. Now, and Jesus is fully on board with this because you know his opinion of temple and temple worship. And so there's a new way that John ushers in and that Christ in his earthly life here, one like us, attempts to give us. And we know it wasn't successful in his time. How do we know it wasn't successful? Well, most people didn't get it. Most people didn't even hear it. Even the ones who did hear it, including his closest friends at the time when it looked like it was all going south, abandoned him and left. And it wasn't until he came back, still in human form, but something very different about him, where he could walk through walls and appear and disappear at will, but still be human, even with his wounds that were visible, that Thomas put his fingers in, that they started to get on board and started to recognize something is really happening here. And so, using this metaphor of trying to get from here to here, knowing there's all this in between that prevents us, we need to ask ourselves, what is that? What we try to do is try to do it ourselves and do the, we'll go around it and do it my own way, and hopefully I'll get here to Jerusalem, even though I'm in Babylon. But God is always trying to provide the direct route. And we have, and I know, and I have things in my life and things in my experience that are the high mountains and the deep valleys that make it difficult to get there. But when I let God do it, when I surrender and let God do the work, it happens. And how do I know when I've left here and come here? It's when I can recognize and see beauty. Even in the midst of all the tragedy that happens in our world, there's beauty that is available to us. And it's as easy as looking in the mirror and seeing the God that's in you, the God that is indwelling within you that maybe you can't see because of all the things that we put in the way, all the things that distract us, all the things that make us worry, all the things that, quite frankly, need to get done and we worry about. But nonetheless, God is still in there. God is still within each and every one of us. And we can just look around this people gathered together today, at your family, at your friends, at us who have been called to this altar by God Himself, by making a direct route to come to Him and to experience His love so we can experience His peace, so we can experience the serenity, and we can experience the beauty that is, yes, a future event, a future reality, but it's a here and now thing too. The beauty is here and now, on earth as it is in heaven, as we say. And if we are able to get out of our own way, it makes it that much easier. And it is hard. It is difficult. That's why we pray. That's why we have spirituality. But the beautiful thing is that our God is not like all the other gods that people used to worship and pray to in antiquity. Because what those gods wanted was sacrifice. They wanted blood. They wanted even human sacrifice. Whereas our God wants to feed us. Our God invites us to come to this altar so He can feed us. That's so gods don't do that. Gods expect things coming to them. Our God wants to give to us. And He wants to give us everything. He wants us to experience what His Son came to do, which is to bring us life, to bring us peace, to bring us joy, to bring us happiness. All the gifts that we hear about that are the gifts of the Spirit that our kids this afternoon who are going to be confirmed will be sealed in. All of those gifts. And the gift we obviously need most right now is the gift of peace. But it's possible. It is possible. But that's when we learn to cooperate with what God wants for us. And what God wants for us more than anything is for us to experience His love, His peace, His mercy, His forgiveness. And it's all possible if we can get out of our own way. And that's the hard work. That's the daily work. But it's not a grind. It's really simply getting out of our own way and letting God be God and letting us let God be God. So let's do that today as we come to this altar, knowing that God wants to give us all this. Give it to us so that we can be with Him and He can be with us. We can be one. And that's one of the other things that Jesus came in, and we know this, that they all may be one as you and I are one. And it's community. Jesus never alone. God never alone. Holy Spirit never alone. And in that great icon that we look at with the three around the table with the empty spot, it's waiting for us to join.